Akuta Sicha is Chelik Chavbeis, Parsha Gedeshim Sicha Aleph, a summary of the Sicha. In this week's Parsha, it talks about the law of Arla, which means that the first 3 years of a tree, you're not allowed to eat its fruits. And then the fourth year, you have to bring the fruits to Yerushalayim. And then the fifth year, you can eat it without any restriction. You can eat it freely. So the Pasuk says, when you will come to the land, and you shall plant, you will plant, and you shall consider off limits the fruits for 3 years. Shall the fruits be off limits? They shall not be eaten. That's the Pasuk. So Rashi quotes from the words of the Pasuk, for 3 years they shall be for you off limits, and he explains, from when does he count those 3 years? From the time that he plants. So the simple understanding of this Rashi is that Rashi is trying to say, one might have thought that when should you start counting the 3 years of fruits? When it starts producing fruits, which could be a few years later. So he says, no, it starts from, it says, unatatem, you shall plant the tree. From this we learn that it starts from the time of planting. But if that's the case, we have to understand a few things about this Rashi. Since the whole source of the of what Rashi is saying is comes from the word unatatem, and you shall plant, why didn't he quote that word and explain that word? That should be explained. Unatatem, you start counting from from the time of planting. Another question: why does Rashi say when do you start counting from the time of planting? He could have said simply, quote two words from the pasuk, shalosh shanim, 3 years, and explain from the time of planting. That's all you need. That would have delivered the message. But Rashi goes, from when do you start counting? From the time of planting. And even though it's true that that's how the Teiras Kainim, which is the source for Rashi, says it, but Rashi doesn't have to follow this. Most often he doesn't. He simply uses the words which he needs in order to explain this pasuk in its direct meaning. And he doesn't have to quote the Teiras Kainim in its full. So to explain, what's bothering Rashi here is that this pasuk, it starts shalosh shanim yilachem, it starts earlier, sorry, varaltem es or losayas piria. First the pasuk says, and you shall declare off limits its fruits. For 3 years shall they be for you off limits. Why does the Torah repeat that whole thing? For 3 years shall they be, 3 years we need. It shall be declared, you shall consider it off limits, its fruit, for 3 years. But then why does he have to repeat, shall they be off limits to you, not to be eaten? So Rashi takes from this that the Torah is trying to point out the following. Arla can be seen in two different ways. One thing is, one way of looking at Arla is, that the prohibition of those fruits for the first 3 years are an Isr Cheftza, which means the fruits themselves are the problem. They are prohibited and may not be eaten. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is that this is something that pertains to the person. A yid has a mitzvah that when he plants a tree, for the first 3 years he's not allowed to eat from that tree. It doesn't speak about the status of the fruits of the tree at all. It's talking, you shall keep track for 3 years, don't eat from the tree. And that's what Rashi is saying. We'll soon explain what the difference is. So Rashi is saying, when do you start counting from the time of planting? Which means, it's the person that has to be keeping track. This is a mitzvah that speaks to the person rather than declares the fruit itself to be off limits. It's off limits to you. For how long? For 3 years. Count 3 years and then you can eat. And he takes that's the word that Rashi quotes, lachem, they are to you, meaning that it's something that involves you as a person, to you they're prohibited. Independently, that not necessarily would we say that the fruits are, by definition, non-kosher. They're non-kosher to you. We'll explain the difference. But since we are saying that it's about you, as Rashi says, that you have to count 3 years. So therefore, when we look at the question, when should the prohibition start? From when the tree produces fruit, and then it would start only, let's say, on the third or fourth year and go on till the seventh year? Or does it start from the time of planting? If we would say that it's about the fruit that they are prohibited, then is whenever the fruit appeared, that's when for 3 years they're prohibited. But since it's about you, so then when you planted, now start counting. It's about what you did. You planted, count 3 years. For those 3 years you can't eat it, and after that you can eat it. Now to explain the difference, whether we consider it a problem to you or a problem to the fruit. If we were, let's say if somebody planted a tree 20 years ago and it's already been through Arla, now it's producing fruit, and then he cuts off a branch from that tree and he replants it a few meters down. That branch has already gone through the Arla process. So if it's a question of the fruit being prohibited, that branch is already clear of that prohibition. So therefore, you should be able to start eating the fruit immediately. If it's about the person, you just replanted that branch. So you planted a tree. You planted a tree. You have to start counting again 3 years. That might be a difference. So in this case, Rashi, of course, agrees with the halacha, because the final halacha on this matter is that if you replant a branch from another tree that has already been cleared from Arla, you start counting the Arla again for this tree. As Rashi says, you have to start counting, meaning you have to start counting again. And that explains another matter in Rashi, because Rashi continues. In this same Rashi, we only quoted the first half of the Rashi goes on. I would think that if the person took the fruits of the tree during the first 3 years, and he, let's say, preserved them, and he left them after, it's now the 3 years are past. Their 3 years are gone, they're over, now you can start eating from the tree. What about the fruits that he preserved that grew during the 3 years? Is he now allowed to eat those fruits? I would think that he would be permitted. So the pasuk says, no, yihyeh, that it shall be, yihyeh means they continue to be arelim, which means arla, even after the 3 year period. Once they grew during the 3 years, they're forever prohibited. So we have to understand, what's the connection between these two aspects of Rashi, which he lumps together in one Rashi? The two totally separate halachas. They come from different words in the pasuk. The first part of the pasuk, when do you start counting, comes from unetatem or lachem, or it explains the word shalosh shanim, 3 years. When do they start? And the second part of Rashi is a different halacha, that if you kept the fruits for later, and it comes from the word yielachem arelin. So why is Rashi putting them together in the same Rashi when they're two separate matters altogether? In fact, the Teiros Kayanim, from which Rashi takes these, both of these interpretations, has them as two separate matters altogether, but Rashi brings them together. But now that we've explained the Rashi in the way we did before, which is that the Torah said yielachem, it's to you. In other words, the Torah defines it as a matter pertaining to the person. So therefore, I might think that since it pertains to me, the 3 years which I'm prohibited from eating from that fruit is now over, so now I can eat the fruit. Because it's not a prohibition that's attached to the fruit itself, it's a prohibition that's attached to me. If it was a prohibition attached to the fruit itself, so then even after 3 years, it's still attached to the fruit. The fruit is prohibited. But since it's attached to me, now that the 3 years are over, I can now eat it. Similar to what we say on Pesach. If on Pesach, you're not allowed to eat chametz. Does it mean that chametz is forever prohibited? No, after Pesach, chametz is permitted. Even the chametz which was in existence during Pesach, like if a goy owned it, and midoraisa, even if a yid owned it, it would still be permitted to eat it after Pesach, because the prohibition is not attached to the chametz itself, it's that a yid is not allowed to eat chametz during that time. So maybe we should say the same thing about the arla. That's why you need an additional word, yeah, to tell you that that it remains prohibited even after the 3 year period is over. That's why Rashi connects the two, because the reason that we would think differently is because of what I told you in the first half of the Rashi, which is that it is connected to you as a person rather than to the fruit itself. That's why Rashi has to tell you, but no, the prohibition continues after, because it comes from another word. Yia teaches, gives us a special teaching that even so, it remains prohibited. Rebbe then goes on to explain from the inner perspective, from the spiritual perspective, what is the difference between a Isser Gavra and an Isser Chefza, whether we say that it's a prohibition that's connected to the person or to the object. The difference is something that, which we say, something that is attached to the object itself. Isser Chefza, which means this object is prohibited, is because the source of that object, the spiritual source of that object, comes from a completely impure place. Gimel Klibas Atmei is what we call the three impure Klibas. Those things can never be elevated. They are beyond limits to a Yid because they can't be elevated. There is another thing which is called Klibas Noiga, which means it's a neutral Klipa. On the one hand, it's a Klipa, but it has a silver lining. It has this glow about it. Noiga means it shines, which means it has a positive aspect to it, which it depends on you, how you approach it. If you approach it properly, then you elevate it. If you approach it improperly, then you demote it. So something which comes from Gimel Klipas Atmeis can never be elevated. Therefore, it's something attached to that object itself. Ach Isser Gavra means the thing itself isn't necessarily off limits. It's dependent on you. It's something that is about you. There are certain situations in which you're not allowed to eat it. There are certain situations in which you are permitted to eat it, and so on. So it's not like, let's say, chametz. Certain situations you're not allowed to eat it during the 8 days of Pesach. Certain situations you are allowed to eat it, which means chametz is not gimel klipas atmeis. It's just dependent on you, which situation you're in right now. And from the fact that orla remains always prohibited, it means that it's a isur chefze. That means that it comes from gimel klipas atmeis. As the Alter Rebbe in fact says, that orla, he says in Tanya, that orla comes from gimel klipas atmeis. But then the question is, the tree from which it comes is not gimel klipas atmeis, because it produces eventually fruit which are kosher. And you could even cut down the tree and use it for something else, even though the fruits are asur b'hanoah. So the tree is not gimel klipas atmeis. How can a tree which is not gimel klipas atmeis produce something which is gimel klipas atmeis, the fruit for the first 3 years? So we'll understand this by seeing what the Alter Rebbe says. He says that in regards to orla, that things which come from plants like orla or klaya kerem, the other kind of prohibition of plant life that is prohibited, he says kiyum v'chayas, their energy source which keeps them alive and allows them to grow, is from gimel klipas atmeis. So the Rebbe Shah points out that the Alter Rebbe makes a distinction between, when he talks about animals which are prohibited, there he says their body is from gimel klipas atmeis as well as their energy source. By the plants, he says their energy source comes from gimel klipas atmeis. He doesn't say the physical body, meaning the matter, the physical matter which it is. That's not from gimel klipas atmeis. And from this he deduces, the Rebbe Rashab, that orla is essentially tahor, and it doesn't come from gimel klipas atmeis, the body, the physical matter of the orla. So but in the end, the question still remains: it's coming from a tree. It's getting its chayas, its energy from the tree. The tree is tahor, is not gimel klipas atmeis. So why is the energy of the fruit prohibited? Meaning to say, why does that make it prohibited? And it is gimel klipas atmeis as far as the energy, and that's why it remains always prohibited, the fruits that grew in the 3 years. The answer to that is, suggests the Rebbe, that the physical matter of something, once it's created, it remains. It's the same physical matter. So you can say that the physical matter will change after 3 years. Originally it came from gimel klipas atmeis. Now, after 3 years, it suddenly changes to something, to a new source. What do you mean? It's the same body of the fruit. How could it change from a new source? But the energy that animates and brings chayas to that fruit That keeps being renewed daily, all the time. As we say on the Pasuk, not the Pasuk, the prayer, that Hashem renews constantly, every day, the whole creation has to be renewed all the time, which means that there's a new flow of energy to the world all the time. So the energy could change from one year to the next. It's constantly new. 3 years it wasn't from Gimel Klipas Admeis. Now it starts getting its energy from Klipas Noiga. But the body of the fruit is unchangeable, because it doesn't get renewed again. It's just the same fruit. Therefore, we have to say that the physical aspect of it is not Gimel Klipas Admeis, but the energy is Gimel Klipas Admeis, and therefore you can't, since it was created with a negative energy during the 3 years, you cannot never eat it. But then it could become something permitted later, because the physical aspect of it was always okay. Now the energy is okay, and that's why when it comes from the tree is okay. The energy that it sends off for the 3 years is not good. The energy could change, but the physical aspect of it always remains whatever it was originally. To say it more clearly, since the fruit comes from the energy from the tree, so that energy during the 3 years creates a negative fruit, and that remains always negative. But the energy that comes later creates fruits which are positive, neutral, and therefore can be elevated.